Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. Guess what? That song means that somebody from the Hastings Ministerial Association is rotating in, and Pastor Jim Bozuski is here from the Cornerstone Bible Church, which is located at 735 East 10th Street in Hastings. So glad to see you. How have you been?
Oh, good.
Wonderful. So, Pastor, I know that you are also you're in chaplain ministry with Dakota County, and you have been for some time besides being the pastor at Cornerstone Bible. Tell us about that ministry, please.
Well, I've been blessed to be a chaplain for the Sheriff's Department since 1979.
Wow.
Our church used to be over here on 2nd Street, or right off in the old armory, and we were in that building for, I think, pretty close to 20 years. But right across, before the county grew, the county courthouse used to be where the
city hall is
today. But the sheriff's office was there, and the jail was up above the sheriff's office right across the street. And so back in 1979, I was walking into church, but I could hear the guys. It was summertime, so the windows were open, and I could hear the guys who were incarcerated up there. And I could hear them. It was Sunday morning, pretty quiet. And the Lord just put on my heart, He says, you need to go in there. And so Monday, I got a hold of the sheriff, Rod Boyd.
Sure.
And I asked for an appointment to see him and went in. And I says, hi, Rod, I'm Pastor Jim. And is there anything I can do over here? And he looked at me. He says, you know, if I let you in, I'm going to have trouble. I says, no, I'm not letting nobody in. He says, you just didn't want too much to do with it. He was really a good sheriff, great sheriff.
Was chaplain ministry new? Was it even a thing back then?
Well, I tell you what, there were two guys that were doing it, Sam Schoen and Jim Yeager. They were going in with Gideon Ministries, and they were handing out Bibles.
Sure.
That was the only thing the sheriff was letting happen. And so I wanted to go and do Bible studies, and so the sheriff just says, no. So what I did is I challenged the sheriff. I says, well, I tell you what, if you ever have an inmate in here that doesn't know what religion they are and they want to speak to somebody, so if they're not Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, whatever, and they would like to speak to somebody, would you call me? And he says, okay. And so I walked out the door. That was Monday. Tuesday, I get a phone call from the sheriff's department and says, hey, Pastor, we got one.
Isn't God great?
We got one. Well, so I went up there and went in and visited this gentleman every day for all the time that he was there. But every day I went in, I said hi to the jailer. Every day I went in, say hi to the officers. Every day I went in. Now, I'm a former law enforcement officer, so that sort of gave me some in that had some conversations saying, hey, guys, I know what you're doing, you know. they became familiar. Next thing I know, he says, well, okay, you can do a small Bible study. So we did a Bible study. We did a Bible study there, and that was in the days where they could smoke when they were in jail. And we would be in rooms just filled with blue smoke, trying to read the Bible and drink coffee. But those years were good.
So did you have a lot of takers early on?
Oh, my gosh, yes, yeah. The only two groups that were in the jail at that time were AA. AA people came in and our Bible study. That were the first two programs. And so as it grew, it was just me. And then pretty soon I had one of my elders come in with me, and there was two of us. Then we invited someone else. There was three of us. And so over the years, we were so blessed with such great help. And today we have 11 churches throughout the county with close to 110 volunteers that go and do services on Sunday. And then I myself, and I have a chaplain, an assistant chaplain that works with me. We do the Bible studies during the week.
So you minister to people that are in jail,
yes,
at Dakota County, but you also help the firemen and the police officers,
right,
too, don't you?
Right.
Is that a separate?
I'm the chaplain for the Hastings PD.
Okay.
And the chaplain for the fire. And I've been with them for many, many, many years. The job is pretty simple. You know, they're out there both. They get calls that are just horrible. And sometimes they need me. They need a chaplain. They need somebody who can come out to a scene. Death notifications, just being on the scene, even for the officers and the firemen, just as a point of contact where they can just come over and I can pray with them. Just it just brings, like, some place they know that they can just sit and they can just have one moment
of peace.
And since I've been in that work and have done that work, I understand it, you know, so I understand the work that they do. I've been with the fire department for years. I've been with the police department for years. I'm a former police officer. I'm EMS. I carry credentials, and I keep all my training current, so I'm quite familiar with what they do. But they know, they know that they can call me if there's a critical incident. I just need to talk, and it's safe. They have to have one place where they could just, I can talk and I can feel safe. It's not going to ever get out. There's going to be no written record. There's, you know, it's just between that person, me, and God. And so I think they find comfort in that. Unlike going to other services where everything's documented and things like that, that's not necessarily always. It's good. I'm not against that, but it's just I'm just a different avenue.
Mm-hmm. When you are working at the Dakota County Jail in chaplain ministry,
yeah,
when you look back over your years since 1979, have the people that are incarcerated, obviously maybe some of the crimes have changed, but have the people changed? Have they become less affiliated with organized religion or more? Or what have you seen over the years?
We see a lot of unchurched.
Okay.
People there now. There are church, but we're seeing more unchurched. That means they're growing up in homes where they didn't go to church, and mm-hmm. So they have no background.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have those who are in a lot of cult or cult activities, pseudo type religions and so forth. And so there's all sorts of different things coming in, as well as we have those who belong to mainline denominations and so forth. So our Bible studies and church services are all non-denominational, and they're all Bible-based and Christ-based. Nobody has to come. They're available. If somebody's in our facility that has their own church, we certainly contact their pastor to come in and visit them and so forth, so they can have their religious contact also. But as far as services, the Bible studies and church services, week in and week out, 365 days a year, it just keeps going. Now, this last year, because of COVID, was tough on everyone, obviously. But I was able, through computers and internet, to keep contact, which was pretty good. So, but I think when I look back over it, the lives that have come to know Jesus Christ, the men and women over those years, and then to meet them afterwards, you know, when I get to see them out here on the street and they come up and they go, Pastor, our lives have so changed. This is my kids. Here's my kids. Here's my wife. Mm-hmm. And I got a house and I'm working. We're going to church. I mean, that is awesome.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. How beautiful.
Yeah. And I get to see a lot of that.
Oh,
yeah.
That is very rewarding, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Pastor Jim, when you meet people that are unchurched, are they more hungry for the Word of God, or are they more hesitant?
I think they're curious and hungry because they've come to the place in their life that they're
about as low as they can be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. You know, going to jail is just a horrible thing. I wouldn't wish anyone there, but perchance they come, some unwittingly and some willingly. You know, they do. Some actually go commit sins, but when they come, it's a scary endeavor. But the chaplaincy offers hope. When they come into the programs area, we have a terrific programs department. The chaplaincy is only one aspect of hundreds of things that our sheriff and our administrator that they do to bring hope to these guys. So if I were going to say anything, I think hope is what they need. And so we give it to them in many ways, whether it's drug treatment, narcotics treatment, or whether it's housing. See, some is just plain housing. Where do they, you know, getting work and things like this. So there's so many different nuances of what we do. But God has to be in the center, and what we've always been able to meet the spiritual need of those coming in. We give Bibles away. Gideon Ministries gives us Bibles. We have organizations here, even churches here, that donate books, and which makes it a lot easier. We got Bibles. We give Bibles away just by the hundreds. And of course, we want the guys to read them, read the Bible. You know.
So everything we need to know is there.
Absolutely, in the Bible, yeah.
And how do people crack the Bible for the very first time if they've never done that? What would you recommend? How do they do that?
I usually tell them, especially there, that they should read the Gospel of John. And the reason being, John was written, he's one of the four Gospels. John was written in such a way to the personal relationship with Christ and what that looks like. How you can be someone like Nicodemus, who's very religious, grew up religion all your life, and miss God, miss Jesus, because your religion was in the way, but Jesus comes into your life, and even religious people can come to know Christ. And then we have, that sounds really silly, but that's true. And then we have a gal that's, she's had five marriages go bad, and she's living with a guy, and her life is a mess, and Jesus comes and changes her life. And that's what Jesus does. He comes into every life and changes it and gives hope. Of course, salvation is by receiving Christ as your Savior. And so when we see that over the years, hundreds of stories, and we have a banquet that we do once a year where some of the inmates who were with us, their lives have been changed, actually come and speak to the sheriff and all the administration to say, this is what happened to us. And what a, just amazing times.
It makes the work all worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Is right. You have said in the past that there are three evils of the world that we're dealing with today. Can you tell our listeners about that?
We have three enemies, and here's the enemies. We have the world system, and the world system, what I mean by that, is a system that's not taking you to God, it's taking you away from God. We have yourself, your own flesh, the world, the flesh. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, right? And then, of course, there's the devil, and there is a real devil who does tempt, and he will do everything he can. And the whole purpose of those three is to keep you from God, to keep you from knowing who Jesus Christ is, to do anything to keep you from that understanding. And those three we're embattled with every day.
As far as the evils of the world, what does that look like? The world itself coming at you. Do you think it's technology? What do you see?
Well, technology, like anything, technology can be used for good or evil. You see it even today, hopefully it's for good, right?
I hope it is.
Yes.
Hello,
I
listeners.
I see a lot of technological things. So technology in and of itself is not evil. It's how it's used. Obviously, we can sort of understand that. But when I talk about the influence of the world, it's divisive. It's never unifying. It's like corrosive. It's something that eats away, and there's no life in it. It sucks the life right out of you. And that's what I think what we see in the world today with all the divisions and the fightings. And I mean, we see it in our own cities and we see it in our own streets. And everyone having just angry. I don't
lack
know
of if kindness.
I just see a lot of anger.
People are on edge. Do you think that has to do with the pandemic also, though?
Well, I think that's an aspect of it. But I certainly seen it even before, and we'll see it even after. But I think it's another nuance, you know, another log in the fire, just something to stoke it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, if people want to get hope in person and they don't commit a crime, right, where can they go?
Well, you know, God's given us his church, and the church is out here, and there's good Bible churches. You can go and just learn about God. Read the Bible for yourself. If I could recommend anything for anybody listening, pick up the Bible for yourself. You start reading in the Gospel of John. You start asking questions. You know, God, who are you? God will answer. He's no respecter of persons. He listened. He came to me. He can come to you. So I don't think it's a mystery that way. It's just that a matter that you have to want him.
And when you look back on all the people's lives that you've touched, before we went on the air, you said that sometimes it's 20 times you meet with somebody, right, and all of a sudden they feel open to hearing what you have to say.
Well, I've been at the jail for 42 years, so I've had guys who've been on meth so bad. They've been in and out through our system. And I had one guy come in, and this is without exaggeration, came in at least 30 times, just in and out. And everyone there knew him, you know. But it seems like that all of a sudden one day he's in a Bible study, and then the truth of God's word went from his head to his heart, and he came into a living relationship with Christ, and he hasn't come back. He's been doing quite well. Another story real quick is we got guys coming in for all sorts of crimes. Some are very, very, very awful. And some are facing many, many years in prison. We had one gentleman that was, he was literally a hitman. And he got arrested. And of course he was put in our county for a while until the federal group took him away. But he received Christ while he was in our jail. He wrote me a year later from one of the federal penitentiaries. He says, you know, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm so glad. I'm so sorry for what I've done, but I'm going to serve the rest of my life telling others about Christ. And so now he's in the federal system. I hope he's doing a great job telling others about Christ. Mm. Because when you got hope, it doesn't matter your location.
I agree. Well, we're so glad that you gave us all hope today. Pastor Jim, thank you so much for coming in today. Cornerstone Bible Church is located at 735 East 10th Street in Hastings, and worship is 10 a.m.
Yes.
on Sundays.
Yes.
Thank you. Great to see you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there.